I want us to go to Matthew 21. Today is Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of the most powerful week of Christianity. This week is commonly known as Holy Week, and today we celebrate Palm Sunday. It's when the Savior came into Jerusalem in the midst of shouts of Hosanna. People waved palm branches as he came into the city, and this is all very real in my heart because I believe it. Anybody believe your Bible here today? So we're going to come from Matthew 21, verse 1. It says, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them. Somebody say, loose them. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on him, and he sat on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Somebody shout Hosanna. When he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. I want to preach for a few minutes along these lines, the deliverer, the donkey, and me. Hallelujah. Anybody thankful for the deliverer? I feel like preaching. Raise up both hands, precious. You by live stream, you honor me by being here. God's coming right into your home just as he is in this house. Father, we thank you now that you sent Jesus and we celebrate Jesus today. Lord, I pray that you will anoint me to preach. You will place over me a mantle to preach in this moment. I'm asking you, Lord, if anybody's lost, save them. If anybody's sick, heal them. If anybody's discouraged, encourage them. If anybody's weak, strengthen them. If anybody's stuck, set them free today. We thank you, Lord, that you are mighty. If you love the Lord, come on, give him the praise of the morning. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, the donkey, the deliverer, and me. The donkey, the deliverer, and me. This is such a powerful time, y'all, as we commemorate and celebrate Palm Sunday today. When the deliverer rode into Jerusalem on a donkey for me. Yes, it was about the Jews and it was about the disciples, but I'm going to tell you this. It was all about me. You know why I believe that? Because to me, Jesus is my personal Savior. I know it was about the Jews, and I know it was about the fulfillment of prophecy, but at the end of the day, it was all about me. I dare you to tell somebody in your neighborhood it was all about me. Yeah, he knew that there would be a day that I would need a redeemer. He knew that I needed a savior, a healer, a provider, a way maker. He knew that I needed wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He knew that I would need a way maker and a miracle worker. It was all about me. Hallelujah. If you believe that, you might just give him a praise today. Hallelujah. When you understand that Jesus came for you, it's a mighty thing. Now, I want you to picture this scenario in your mind. It's now 6 days until the Lord would hang on Golgotha. He would give his life, the Bible said, as a ransom for many. He's preparing to come into Jerusalem, and he does something very unusual on that Sunday. He had spent years walking to and fro across Israel, and I mean walking many, many miles. I've retraced his footsteps several times. He spent years walking. It was nothing for him to make the long and arduous journey all the way from the Sea of Galilee to Jerusalem. And if you've ever been with me in Israel, you know what I'm talking about. It was nothing for him to walk down the dusty Jericho road from all the way up in Jerusalem down into Jericho, one weary, dusty, dirty step after another. Jesus walked about, and he was doing good. He was used to walking. People expected him to walk, but not on that day. On that day, he does something unusual. He does something unexpected. He comes to Jerusalem that day, and he does not walk in. He rides a donkey. When he comes to Jerusalem that day, he rides a donkey. Now, let's begin at the very beginning. He knew what lay on the horizon. He understood the pain and the betrayal and the turmoil. He understood that crucifixion was coming. His death was coming. He knew that it was coming. He understood that the shouts of Hosanna would soon give way to shouts of crucify him. One little side note here, precious. Never be surprised when the people who love you one day want to kill you the next. I wish I could find some real people. Never be surprised when the people throwing accolades at you one day or throwing bricks at you the next. Man, do I ever know that's the truth? But I want to exegete this text. I want to explain this text. I want to drain this text. I was so taken by the very first part of this text. Jesus sends two of his disciples on an errand, and the errand is this: go get a donkey. Just go get it. Go get a donkey. I'm sure they said, what, Lord, Grand Theft Auto? You just want us to get a donkey, go steal a donkey? They were probably afraid they'd get arrested. He said, you'll see it tied up, just get it. Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he makes a statement, and he instructs them. Thusly, he said, if there are any issues, if there's any resistance, here's what I want you to tell them. The Lord has need. Now that statement right there blows my mind. That statement right there just blows me away. The Lord has need. What an incredible statement, a shocking statement. He is God. What could he need? He is all sufficient. What could he need? But what must be understood is the fact that the Lord already owned the donkey. Because the Bible says in Psalms 24 that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He already owned the donkey. That means if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, that means he owns the world. You say, well, I love my car. That ain't your car. He owns your car. He owns your house. No, that's my house. Let me tell you, when you die, ain't going to be your house anymore. It ain't going to fit in the casket with you. The Lord owns the world and everything in it, but he will place things in our hands. He will allow us to be stewards of things. He places them in our hands and in our hearts. And even though it's already his, he gives us the option. Do we keep it or do we let him use it? Will I withhold it or will I make it available to him? Because in reality, in providing for his people, he's providing for himself. Oh, come on now. In providing for his people, he provides for his own work. Look at what the text said. He said, the Lord has need. Somebody say need. Now, the word need there in the Greek is very powerful. It means employment. It means requirement. It means business. The Lord said, I have business for a donkey. He said, I want to use a donkey. He said, I got king's business, y'all. And I need a donkey to do it. I'm telling you here, this church is all about the king's business. I need at least 500 people. Not everybody, but just a few of you. If you're glad to be in a church that's in the king's business, 1, 2, 3, give God a praise. Listen, baby, we got a school, but we ain't in the school business. We got a daycare, but we're not in the daycare business. We're on TV, but we ain't in the TV business. I wish I could find somebody to preach to. We own property, but we're not in the property business. We own buildings, but we're not in the facilities business. At the end of the day, we are in the king's work. Indeed, we are doing the king's business. That's why I can't be half-stepping. That's why I can't be just kind of, no, if you're in the king's business, I think you ought to do the king's business as good as you can. If you're in the king's business, make a little noise with me now. So I'm duty-bound to take care of his business. Taking care of business. Come on, somebody. Now, is there anyone here who wants to partner with God in God's business? Almost everybody. I said, is there anybody here who wants to partner with God in his business? If you do, make a little noise. Now watch this. In providing for us, he provides for himself. In Luke 5, he provided Simon with a ship and then got in it and preached the gospel. In Luke 22, he provided a good man with an upper room and then used it to celebrate Passover and communion. In Mark 11, he provides someone with a donkey and then uses that donkey to ride triumphantly into Jerusalem. In Mark 15, he provided a man named Joseph of Arimathea with a tomb, and then he borrowed it. See, the only time you borrow it is when you plan on giving it back. Some people say, Joseph, why are you giving your tomb away? Joseph said, ain't no big deal, y'all. Just kind of a weekend thing. Come on, somebody. On the third day, Jesus kicked the end out of that tomb, and he rose. What I'm trying to tell you is this. The Lord provided for them. And when he provided for them, he provided for himself. Now, this is amazing. When we realize what the King of Glory, the matchless Redeemer, the second person in the Trinity needed, he needed a donkey, an everyday, stubborn, common, hard-headed, have his own way donkey. The Lord said he's stubborn, but I need him. He's common, but I need him, y'all. He's hard-headed, but I got a job for him. He wants to go his own way, but I want to use him. He's a donkey, but I got a plan for him, y'all. Is it not amazing that the Lord's still using donkeys? Oh, look straight ahead and act like I ain't talking to you. Isn't it amazing that God will still use a donkey? When I say the Lord needs you, honey, I'm not saying that he needs you to, in any sense, to be who he is. He's Jesus with us or without us. He can do anything with us or without us. But when I tell you that the Lord wants to use you or the Lord needs you, he needs us because he wants to use us. So I came to look for the people who said, Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. hard-headed, stubborn, go his own way. Surely there were those in that day who said, man, it'd make more sense if Jesus would ride in on a beautiful, powerful, majestic white stallion or war horse. But Jesus said, nah, I'm not going to do that this trip. This trip, I'm going to use a donkey. Now, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, hey, neighbor, I need to tell you something. The Lord is still using donkeys. And say, ain't you glad? Aren't you glad that the Lord is still using donkeys? Maybe you ain't happy, but your neighbor's about to shout. Come on. God is still using donkeys. You can sit out there and be cute, but you're hard-headed sometimes. You can sit out there and act religious, but you want to go your own way sometimes. You've got your own plans, but God will reach right down and still. I just want to hear from a few donkeys who know that he's used you in spite of yourself. Oh, come on, we saved, but we still have our donkey days. We love Jesus, but we still have our donkey days. We worship. Some of us tithe, but we still have our donkey days. But aren't you glad that even though you act like a donkey sometimes, God said, I got business for you. I got a plan for you. I'm going to use you. When the Lord uses us sometimes, we feel unworthy. I'll be transparent with you. There are times that I sit in environments I'm about to preach in and I'm amazed and I say, God, what am I even doing here? Someone else is more qualified. Have you ever thought someone else is more capable? Get a thoroughbred, I'm a donkey, y'all. Get a war horse, I'm a donkey. Get a stallion, I'm a donkey. Maybe you got it all figured out, but pray for me. Get a stallion, I'm a donkey. But Jesus uses people who we think he ought not use. Jesus raises up the underdogs. Jesus will set up the unlikely. Jesus will raise up the unfit. So when it's all said and done and we carry his glory, we don't get the praise he does. I'm just looking for some real people who can say, Lord, I still have my donkey days, but if you can use anybody, use me. Give God a praise if that's you. That's one of the reasons I love him. Because in spite of me, he got business for me to do. Y'all, he rode a donkey. Come on, somebody. The Bible said in Psalms 18:10, he could have ridden upon a cherub and flown upon the wind, but he rode a donkey. His name is Jah, the one who rides the heavens. That day he rode a donkey. And I want to tell you, you can't let your past disqualify you. You can't let your struggles disqualify you. You can't let things you've been through disqualify you. I've come to tell you that God will use you. God's got a plan for you. Now watch this. You say, well, Apostle, I got too many issues. Got too much failure in my life. Got too much of a past. But watch this. If you know anything about donkeys, in the Jewish perspective, donkeys were considered unclean because of the way that they chewed their food and because of their hoofs. Don't miss this now. It had to do with what they ate and how they walked. It had to do with their diet and their walk. And the truth is, some of us have been like a donkey We've been unclean. There have been times when we've eaten and consumed immorality and unrighteousness in our lives. There have been times when we walked where we shouldn't have walked, when we allowed our feet to carry us into places that we should not have been. But in spite of that, all of it is under the blood, and I can still be used by the Lord. There ain't nowhere you've been that can stop you from being used. Hallelujah. There ain't nothing you partaken of that can't be disqualified because of the blood. Now watch this. Exodus 13:13 instructed the Jews that they could redeem a donkey by sacrificing a lamb. Oh my. I know this is too much for religious people, but anybody glad that the lamb was sacrificed for us donkeys? Just look at your neighbor and karate chop them. Do something. Make sure they're awake. Just say, hey, neighbor. See, I need about 10 seconds to give God praise that the lamb was sacrificed for this donkey. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm thankful today. Come on, somebody. You were sacrificed for me. My old hard head. And that day, Jesus rode a lowly donkey. But don't get it bent. When Jesus rode the donkey, it was not about the donkey. It was about the passenger. The donkey was the common animal of the common people. It's very powerful. Now let me share with you some things that had to happen to that donkey. Number one, the donkey had to be broken. If this donkey was to be used by the master, it had to be broken. See, precious, an unbroken donkey has certain characteristics. An unbroken donkey is stubborn. An unbroken donkey is fussy. An unbroken donkey always seeks his own way. Do you know any unbroken donkeys? You say, well, I'm sitting by them, but I can't point. Come on, somebody. Look down your row and see if you can figure out who the unbroken donkey is. Come on. You know what's funny? Is you think it's them and they just know it's you. Come on, somebody. An unbroken donkey is stubborn and fussy and seeks his own way. Job talked about a wild donkey. I'm not going to go there. A man is born as a wild donkey. Come on, y'all remember what I said last week. And the only way that wild donkey can become what it's meant to become is through the process of breaking. Hallelujah. The donkey has to be broken, and it takes the ability of a trainer in order for that donkey to be broken, because that trainer specializes in breaking the donkey. And sometimes, y'all, we have to be broken from our donkey ways. Sometimes we have to be broken from going our own way and doing our own thing and resisting what God wants for us. I was caught by Luke 19:30. Jesus said, go into the village opposite you. Go to the village different than you. Go to the village opposite you. This week, God is calling you to people who are opposite you. God is calling you to people who don't believe like you. God is calling you to the lost. They don't believe in redemption the way that you believe in redemption. Maybe they live a flawed, imperfect life, but you got to remember, before Jesus changed your life, you were that way too. I'm telling you, I want you to invite him to come. If they're addicted, invite him to come. If they're broken, invite him to come. If they're sexually bound, invite him to come. If they're transgender, invite him to come. If they're hooked on marijuana or crack or heroin, invite him to come. I want all the people who the Lord has changed, give him some praise right now. Hallelujah. That's what the word repent means. Repent doesn't mean, Lord, I'm sorry. The Lord doesn't need our apology. Let me tell you what repentance really means. When you repented, baby, you were walking one direction, and repent means a total turnaround. I only want the people to give God praise who have totally turned around. Since you have met the Lord Jesus Christ, he turned your life around. He turned your family around. He turned your future around. He said, go into the village opposite you, watch this, where you will enter and find the colt, a donkey tied, on which no one has ever sat. Did you get that? The donkey Jesus instructed them to get was an untamed, unbroken, unridden donkey. The donkey that Jesus sat upon had not been broken. But when that donkey, hey Lord, had a real encounter with a real Jesus, he didn't fuss, he didn't fight, he didn't resist, he didn't buck, baby, he submitted. And according to Job, a man's will is like a wild donkey. But hear me today, no matter how wild and unbroken a man may be, everything changes when the master gets on board. Oh, there are some folks in this room, if you knew where they came from, if you knew their background, if you knew what they were doing 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years ago, you would not believe it if you understood that there was a time in our lives when we were wild and unbroken, but Jesus got on board, and when Jesus got on board, everything changed. I couldn't change myself. But when Jesus got on board, everything changed. Oh, you better hear me in this room. If you just understood where some of the people on your row have come from. I just need some people who have been changed because Jesus got on board. You know you were wild, untamed, and unbroken, but when Jesus got on board, if Jesus got on board and changed your life, give him praise right now. I was jacked up, but Jesus changed all that. He got on board, baby. When Jesus really gets on board, when you really encounter him, your attitude will change. Your actions will change. Oh, it's quiet in here now. Your disposition will change. Your language will change. Your behavior will change. Y'all don't make me preach. You'll stop fornicating. Yeah, I wish I could find a church. You'll stop gossiping. Things change. How many of you are ready to give the Lord access to your life and say, God, change me. Change my desires. In those days, every animal, watch now, that had not been ridden was considered sacred and could be used for sacred events. So this is powerful to me. No matter how wild and untamed your past is, Jesus specializes in changing wild, untamed, unbroken people into those he can use for the sacred. Those that we would say he can never use her, he can never use him, she's got too much junk in her trunk, he's got too many issues in his past. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how wild or untamed or unbroken a man or woman is, if Jesus gets on board, everything changes. Don't miss it. Somewhere in the process to truly be used by the Lord, we must be broken. We're aware in our lives of the struggles that we've had. And we know that our journey at times have been hard and it's been of our own making. Hallelujah. But we encountered Christ. When Christ came on board, he changed our lives. When Christ has come on board and we've been broken, we can't live our lives on cruise control anymore. When Christ comes into our lives and he comes on board, things change if we've been broken. So often we despise the broken. We throw the broken away. If it's a cup, if it's broken, we throw it away. If it's got a chip or a glass or a plate, we throw it away, but not God. God places a premium on the broken because he can use the broken. Maybe you got a broke down past, but he can use you. Maybe you got broke down relationships, but he can use you. Maybe you're broke down in your finances. You might be homeless, but don't let the devil lie to you. My God can still use you. God uses the broken at the most broken time in David's life. In Psalms 51:17, he said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. He said, these, O God, you will not despise. So in order to be used by Jesus, that donkey had to be broken. Those who are to do mighty things for the Lord, there's always a breaking in your life. But the second thing that happened was this. The donkey had to be loosed. Now this is mighty because the master couldn't use the donkey until he loosed the donkey. He couldn't use the donkey as long as the donkey was bound up. Jesus desires to use many people, and he wants to use them in ways they never dreamed possible. But the reality of it all, what stops them from being used is the fact that they have not yet been loosed. They're trying to lead worship, but ain't been loosed. Trying to be big in the church, but ain't been loosed. They're bound by religion. They're bound by pride. They're bound by lust. They're bound by sin. It's quiet in here. They're bound by their own desire. They're bound by money. They're bound by sexual sin. They're bound by anger. They're bound by their past. But I want to tell you today that I know somebody who can loose you from anything that binds you up. Hear me in this room. Jesus wants to use us, but he will loose us in order to use us. And I fear for this generation. Because so many preachers have stopped preaching deliverance. Give me just a minute here. So many preachers are now coddling people in their sin. And they're telling them you can do whatever you want to do and still be you, y'all. I better get back up here and stay on my notes. Man, you can have stuff going on. You got this one sleeping with that one on the stage. You got deacons fornicating. You got worship people that are gay and lesbian, and we acting like it's all right. You got mess going on. You got gossipers that are having places in the church. Where are the preachers that will stand up and say God wants to loose you? Y'all, I love you, but I'm not going to preach that limp-wristed gospel that said God can't set somebody free. I'm here to tell you that he will loose you. I need the people who still believe in deliverance. Open up your mouth and give God a praise. Loose him, Lord. I said loose him. I'm ready to see some young people loose. I'm ready to see some college students loose. I'm ready to see some men loose from pornography. The old folk used to tell us that God would set you free. We used to sing that song, he set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God. If he set anybody free, open up your mouth and give God a praise. Yeah, I need to get on my notes, but I need to tell somebody that the power of God is going to be in this house next Sunday. Bound people are going to get loose. Bound people are going to get free. If you believe it, give God a praise. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, right here, this is I've been set free praise. One, two, three, give him an I've been set free. Thank you. Come on. Before you read your Bible, before you came to church, before you were faithful, he set you free. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, when you find him, loose him. I'm so glad when he found me, he freed me. Jesus said, loose him. The word loose in the primary, it's a primary verb in the Greek. It means to loose anyone bound, anyone, 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 anyone. I said anyone. Is there anybody here who believes that God can set anybody free? To set free, to break up, to dissolve, destroy, and demolish. Hallelujah. Jesus not only found the donkey, he loosed the donkey. Now, I got to keep preaching, but is there anybody that got loosed here in this place? If God set you free, make a little noise in the room. You know why God is using people in this house? Because there's some people in here who've been loosed. And once you've been loosed, there ain't no denying it. Loose people act a little differently. You can always tell when you're sitting by somebody loosed. They keep standing when everybody else is trying to sit down. They keep shouting when everybody else wants to be quiet. They'll dance by themselves. They'll run around the building. They'll give God glory because they remember what it's like to be bound up, and now they're free. Oh, God. That's why you can't judge somebody's praise, because you don't know how bound up they were before the Lord set them free. Hallelujah. You can always tell when you sit by people who ain't loosed, because they get bent out of shape. They're not here, though. They're in Palm Coast. Come on. Let me tell you something. If you can't worship, you ain't been loosed. If you can't praise or rejoice or give or sow or tithe, it's not because you're trying to figure things out theologically. Oh. Did y'all hear what I said? It's not because you're trying to figure things out theologically. For many, it's because they haven't been loosed. People who support the work of God, who stand for the work of God, they've been loosed. Loosed from just thinking about themselves. He loosed us to do something, to accomplish something. He had an agenda for that donkey. Number one, the donkey must be broken, and so must we. Number two, the donkey must be loosed, and so must we. But number three, the donkey had to be willing to carry the king. Is there anybody willing to carry the king today? Come on, if you're a king carrier, make a little noise in the house. The donkey was built to carry the load. They were the great burden bearers. They were built to carry the load. But hear me in this room, the donkey was built to carry the load, but it had to be willing. That's the key. We got to be willing. If the donkey wasn't willing, it wouldn't have been done. Jesus couldn't have used him. But is there anybody willing today to carry the king's agenda? Is there anybody willing today to carry the king's anointing? Are you willing to carry the king? The donkey had to be willing. But hear me now. If that donkey knew who he was carrying, if he somehow could have understood, y'all, who he was carrying, he was glad to be carrying and willing to carry Jesus. If that donkey knew who he was carrying, that donkey must have strutted into Jerusalem like a Clydesdale, because he was carrying the gospel on his back. He was carrying the king on his back, and he was built to carry the load. And I've come to tell you, you've been built to carry the king. You are built to carry the glory of the Lord. But here's where it gets real. The donkey didn't receive the glory. Jesus did. They didn't remove their coats for the donkey. They weren't waving palm branches for the donkey. They didn't throw their clothes on the ground for the donkey. They weren't shouting for the donkey. They weren't celebrating the donkey. Baby, let me tell you something. The problem is we got too many donkeys trying to receive the glory that is due the king. It's never about the donkey. Oh, I love you. It's never about the preacher. It's never about the evangelist. It's never about the bishop. It's never about the song leader. It's all about the king. The attraction is the king. The one who gets the glory is the king. And even when he breaks you through, and even when he looses you, and even when he sets you free, you don't get the glory. The king gets the glory. Y'all, I feel like preaching. Get your neighbor by the hand and say, hey, neighbor, I only made it this far because I got the king on board. Give me 15 seconds and let me give the king all the glory. Hey, hallelujah. Come on, donkeys. Come on and give God the glory in here. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were not celebrating the donkey. They were celebrating the king. The donkey just got the benefit. The donkey just got the blessing. Let me tell you something. When Jesus gets on board, baby, you get the benefit, but Jesus gets the glory. 1, 2, 3. Give God a praise in here. Hallelujah. 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 Now I'm going to move on. I'm skipping a couple pages, so y'all try to stay with me. But I feel this in my spirit. In the Old Testament, we find out that judges rode donkeys. And Jesus came into Jerusalem, and he certainly endured the judgment of sin. But I want you to picture the scene. Multitudes are coming to Jerusalem. They are coming to celebrate Passover. And there are peoples and there are lambs everywhere. But don't miss it. Those people had come and they had brought their sacrificial lambs. There were hundreds of thousands of lambs that were about to be sacrificed. But that day, there is a lamb riding a donkey. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. It was a lamb that would replace every lamb that would ever be born. There was a lamb that was riding a donkey. And I got news for you. I know who I am. I know my struggles. I know my limitations. But when I stand up and preach, there is a lamb that is riding a donkey. When I bind the devil, there is a lamb that is riding a donkey. When I lay hands on people, there is a lamb on board. Somebody give God a praise. Hallelujah. That's why you can't glorify healing evangelists. That's why you can't glorify a man. Because at the end of the day, the man couldn't do nothing if the lamb wasn't riding a donkey. One, two, three. You've got to shout in here right now. The lamb that would replace every lamb was in Jerusalem that day. And the multitude shouted out in Matthew 21:9. Before those who followed, they cried out saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna is the Hebrew word Yashana. Yasha meaning save, and Na meaning now. And they were thinking that Jesus was coming to save them out of Roman oppression. They were actually fulfilling Psalms 118 that says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." They were shouting about the fact that they wanted him to save them from Caesar's oppression and Roman's oppression. So they're saying, "Hosanna, Yashana, save now." They said, "Lord, we need a breakthrough and we need it right now. I came looking for the people who need a breakthrough right now." That's about 23% of you. Do you need resources now? Do you need an open door now? Do you need direction now? Do you need healing now? Do you need your family change? Somebody shout Hosanna. Somebody shout Hosanna. David said, "Save now, I beseech you. Send now prosperity." Baby, I'm thankful for in the sweet, sweet by and by. But somebody's about to move out of your wait season and into your now season. I need somebody who's ready for God to move right now. Open up your mouth and give him praise like he is. Can we act like he's in the room? Can we act like we're carrying the king? Can we act like he can still move? Here's what I want you to do. Remember, Yashana, Hosanna, save now. I want you to shout Hosanna 10 times. And after you shout it 10 times, give God praise like he's about to move now. Are you ready? If you're in a hospital room watching, I want you to shout Hosanna. If you're at home watching, I want you to shout Hosanna. Here we go, 10 times. 1, 2, 3. Hosanna. 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 Now give him praise. Hallelujah. Give him praise, y'all. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible said that some of the Pharisees called to him in a crowd and said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. They're making too much noise. They're acting too free." But Jesus answered and said, "I tell you that if these should keep quiet, those stones would immediately cry out." But how many of you can say, "Here's one less stone. I'm going to give God praise. It's my now season." Hallelujah. Y'all, I got to finish. Stand up, everybody. The Bible said in Psalms 118, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in his eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." The word rejoice in the Hebrew, it means to be happy, to be joyful, and to spin around. I dare somebody that don't mind praising God, just get happy about your next season. Get happy about what God's about to do in your life. Some of y'all ain't expecting, but I'm looking for the people that's gone that are expecting God to come through in the next 90 days. Open up your mouth and give God praise. Somebody's family's coming in. Somebody's finances are breaking through. Hosanna! Can we get a little bit radical? I know I need to close, but if you try to leave now, everybody gonna stare at you. I need somebody to turn around one time. So to rejoice means to spin around. Turn around again. Hallelujah. Turn around again. One for the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Tell your neighbor, that's what's happening in my life. My family's turning around. My things I've fought in this last season is turning around. My circumstances are turning around. My children. Stop worrying about the rejection. Stop worrying about people who doubted you. Stop worrying about people who talked about you. Baby, if the master is on board, everything's gonna be all right. Do you not realize that all of Israel just about it rejected Jesus? That great Jesus that was there in their day, but because of their rejection of him, it positioned him to be the savior of the world. Sometimes God will reject you because you're thinking too small. God won't reject you. People will reject you because you're thinking too small, because he wants to do a big thing in your life. Their rejection of him unlock the gospel that you and I enjoy today. Here's what I want you to know. Palm Sunday included a deliverer, a donkey, and me. Just for me, just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. You know that song, John?
Just for me, just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me.
That's it. Let's have a little gospel up in here just for me.
Just for me, just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me.
Just for me.
Just for me.
Jesus came.
Jesus came and did it just for me. Just for me. Just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me.
Somebody raise up your hands and say,
just for me. Just for me. Jesus came and did just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me.
I'm just waiting on worshipers. Come on.
Just for me. Just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. Just for me. Just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me.
Out in the front there are a couple of vehicles. There's a high water truck. And many of us remember just recently, maybe a couple years ago, there was those floods that were so intense that hit our community. And we were shocked, but the storm had been so intense down the state. And the storm itself was bad enough, but we got all the flood water that came in. And there was a truck out there, it's called a high water truck, and it goes into areas that are normally not accessible. I was told that there was 1,000 calls pending that people needed to be rescued. And our sheriff's department and our National Guard, they joined forces. They did whatever it took to rescue people. God is going to send you this week into places you thought were inaccessible. God's going to lead you right into somebody's pain. God's going to lead you right into somebody's problem, and he's going to use you. You know why? Because the donkey's on board. I mean, the king's on board of the donkey. Hallelujah. But watch this. There's also a boat out there, and that boat has it has the ability to receive a download from the Coast Guard. And when it receives that download from the Coast Guard can identify on screen all the search patterns and where the people are. I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to download some things into your life this week. I believe he's going to download a family into your life that you need to invite. He's going to download a server at a restaurant that you go to. He's going to download someone who works at the crosswalk and crosses your kids across the street to get them to school. He's going to download, give you opportunities, show you who needs to be rescued. So I want to give you some instructions. You say, well, what's next, Pastor Apostle? I have invite cards available for you in the back. In fact, I want all of our ushers to be standing with invite cards if we can do it. And I want you to put those invite cards, I want you to put them at tables. I want you to leave them even in the restroom. Come on, somebody. People will pick it right up. I'm telling you. And listen, if you leave an invite card but you don't leave a tip at the restaurant, put that invite card in your pocket. Come on, somebody. You can invite people. I'm going to ask you to pray about inviting at least 3 people. You can invite more than that, but I'm going to ask you to invite at least 3. You can share the invite online. You can serve for Easter Jam. The Lord spoke to me. See, Easter Jam is next Saturday. What time is it starting? What time? 9:00. And we will have many thousands of people that are here. We'll do 3 different egg hunts. Bring your kids. But we're going to be preaching the gospel. How many believe that can be a day of great salvation for us? What I need you to do, the Lord spoke to me, we were praying this week. We're going to have prayer Tuesday and Wednesday, Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday night. We had all those names, thousands of them. We need to get them now off the wall and into the house. Okay? It's good that they're on the wall, but now try to get them in the house. And if they can't come to the house, then you share the link and you get them to tune in. This is time, y'all. It's harvest time. Hallelujah. Somebody give God a praise in here right now. I want all the people who felt like a donkey in your life, but you got the master on board and he used you. 1, 2, 3, give God a praise in here right now. I want our altar team to come forward. I don't want anybody to leave for a moment. If you're in this room and you're not where you need to be with Jesus, if there's sin in your life with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you need a new beginning and a fresh start, and you know that you're not where you need to be with the Lord, if you know that you're a sinner with heads bowed and eyes closed, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand. Pray for me, Apostle. 1, I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. 2, I want to get the master on board. 3, slip up your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I feel this in my spirit. If you need a miracle of healing in your body, I want you to raise your hand right now if you need healing in your body. Here's what I want you to do. If you need salvation or healing, I want you to come to the front and I'm going to pray a prayer collectively over you. But if you need salvation or healing, come and stand in front of one of our altar workers right now. 1, 2, 3, just begin to move. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah, just for me. We're going to take some time and lay hands on people today. Just for me.
Just for me.
Pastor Josh, will you help us and lay hands on people today?
Just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me.
Just man, I feel like miracles are about to manifest in here right now. So everybody take your hand and put it on your heart. Let's first join with everybody. Pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you, forgive me for all my sins. Take my heart, wash it clean in your precious blood. I surrender my whole life to you, and I give you praise. You are my healer. You are my redeemer. But most of all, you are my Savior. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Pastor Josh, come. Pastor Jennifer, we're going to move and lay hands on people. Everybody stretch your hands toward these. If you're going to be a donkey that the master can get on board, 1, 2, 3, make a little noise in the room right now. Come on. Thanks for watching the message. I'm sure this spoke to you. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you subscribe to this YouTube channel? That way, every time there's a new message, you'll get to hear it. Also, many of you have watched this. Some of you watch on a regular basis. Why not take time and sow? You can give at calvaryfl.com. You can give on your phones, and you can be a part of helping us take this message around the world, the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you back here real soon.